So, for those that don't know who you are, which I'm sure there won't be many people, would you kind of give us a little introduction to yourself?
Yeah, I was a boxer, obviously a big blues fan, a great blues following, to be fair. I don't think I would have been as successful as I was without the blues, to be fair. So I used to sell so many tickets all, man, obviously. The more tickets you sell, the more you know, and the bigger opportunities you get. So, boxer, like, I won world championships. Don't want to talk too much, because now you've got a lot of questions there. Won the Commonwealth Games. Very successful amateur career, decent pro career. Boxed Cal Brook for the world title. So yeah, now I'm coaching, a lot of amateur coaching back at my old club called Green, which is still the best amateur club in Midlands, definitely. And I've got a pro by Liam Carey, who's doing great. And got his second pro fight November 14th. If anyone wants to come, give me a message, we'll get you some tickets.
You'll get my eye quickly, we've got next week, and hopefully ramp it up, yeah. I remember, prominently, we went to watch Bellew at the Blues, down here, with Q&A for Riders thing.
Yeah.
And he's like, he said, you were the most talented boxer that he'd seen ever. I think he said.
Yeah. You always said that to me. We were on the amateur squad the whole time for years, and he was like, no, which only at times a fat kid, head rage and knocking people out. And then when he went pro, I went pro with him. And the way he changed his life, the way he like, dedicated himself to, the man, he didn't know the amateur, but he loved the pros.
Yeah.
Well, I love the amateur, I didn't like the pros, you know, we both switched different ways, sort of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was a good lad.
Yeah, because I remember when with the Usyk fights, so everyone's talking about cruiserweights, and I said, yeah, and some of the voices were saying, well, no, he's fought at heavy, but he was originally heavyweight.
He got to light heavy in the end.
Yeah.
Also, when he first went pro, he was like, so skinny, like he was anorexic. Nice to see the things he do to my weight.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of things I've done in the Olympics and that to my weight. And you shouldn't be doing it. And then he was going to fight cleverly the first one. I think he got stolen off in the down half. And the ball like went, yeah, you can't do that. So I'm letting him fight.
You know what? I was going to say that further down, kind of ask you, but making weight, like you fought three different weights now, haven't you?
Yeah.
So how on earth, how do you get to those weights?
To be honest, as an amateur, I'll do anything to my weight. I mean, I remember we'd been this place in Crystal Palace in London, there'd be like a hot room at the bottom of it, like just with like a drawing with clothes, and I was just running there for like 2 hours to my weight. Just get out in a sweatsuit on my own and just put my headphones on. I'd been there for 2 hours, they'd drain to take a sweatsuit off, I'd put another sweatsuit on, but losing like four or five band a session. But then I think with the Olympics, I killed myself. I was in the sauna on a bike. I was like, and I was like 0.1 just on a bike for like, say half an hour at least.
In a sauna on a bike?
Yeah, in a sauna, we'll sweat it on a bike. I think I lost 0.1 of a pound, which is like, leaves it. I could walk from them stairs, well, I lost that then. There was just nothing on me. And I remember some woman coming in, she had a piece on something and I took some blood. She goes, if he boxes, I'm going to sue you, because he's in no position to box. He said he's so low malnutrition or whatever. But you've got to be like that to make weight, obviously. Yeah. I was even worse than that.
Yeah.
The thing I was doing, I didn't want to push my teeth for weeks. I was that scared of putting a little bit of weight on. Everything was mad, all about weight. And when I went pro, I think I just didn't have the dedication what I had as an amateur to do it.
Yeah.
Which is what I hated the game because of it, the things I've done to make weight. I just couldn't do it anymore, that sort of thing.
And not only is it physical, it's mental, it's science, right?
Yeah. Sometimes, like, The worst part, not the fight, I didn't care about the fight. You know, mate, I'd fight anyone, everyone knew that. I'd go to every tournament, everyone would be looking for the draw. I didn't care about the draw, I just wanted to make the weight eat and fight, so.
Yeah, because as long as I can make the weight and get in the ring, I'm all right then, that'll take care of itself.
Yeah, of course, speaks for itself,
then. I knew I could fight, but I didn't know if I could make the weight or not.
So what do you do after, so you up the weight then, what were you doing then?
We say the World Championship, for instance, so weighing 60 kilo, nice, so 6. Then on the night, I finished the fight and I've been going jumping the scales, I've been 9 to 13, so I was like 6 pounds to lose by the next morning. So, but could I only put it on that day? We were not.
It's easy shit.
Well, not easy.
No,
I was training for 2 hours after every fight. I had 6 fights in 10 days, in the end, I had 4 fights in 4 days. Probably losing 6 pounds a night, that was my hardest part. The fights weren't the hard part, the other bit was.
So you got to recover and then lose it again?
You'd kill me, yeah.
So what you were eating at that time, at that level?
I can't remember what it was, but the noob is that bad. They had a nutritionist with me. Only me, no one else. I need to sit with me. He go, that. And then I go, no, that. Let me have anything else. So I was like going into the fights with hardly anything in me. because I was worried about making the weight the next day, which is mad.
And what was the earn? So what was the next weight class? What was the jumping weight from there to the next weight class?
64 kilo it was, but we already had a kid, Brad Saunders. He was a good kid. And he was there now, and I asked the fight before, and I said, nah, and I said, you get in. And they just wanted all the medals. And he won a bronze in the Worlds, to be fair, so it weren't too bad. And I won a gold. And just before that, they sent me to Russia. And I've gone, can I go to Russia in 64? Then I won gold, won best boxer tournament. And they're like, they wanted me to get beat. They sent me there, a little hard tournament to get beat. So then I won one to do 64.
So you went to Russia before.
Gold.
Hello, Yorkies, I'll say. And then I get to be like, yeah, that's, yeah, we're geniuses. That's, we knew he'd do that.
Yeah, he was mad. And then I said, I want to go 6-4. And then he's already picked. So I said, you sent me there to prove myself. And I proved myself. You saw not doing it. And then just before he picked, I knew I weren't making the weight. And then I remember I was at Eric Cameron in training. They rang me up. So do you want to go to European Championships at 64? I said, I will do, yeah. So while my Bradley Saunders got his pulled out. So I won that tournament. He lost to 4 kids that year. I boxed all 4 consecutive, beat all 4 and won gold and best boxer tournament again. And then he went to the Olympics and he got beat in the second fight. Well, I believe I would have won gold at that weight. I think everyone else believed I would have won gold at that weight because otherwise they would have 2 people in there to undo it.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
I used to be like, no, like, I used to train hard, but I'd also be the myself one. The kid who caused the trouble on the teams, like, we would have fire extinguisher fights everywhere. Remember at Crystal Palace when there was about 100 fire extinguishers and we used them all. The next time, as the last, just the last one, I think the coach did not spray it in for me, one of the kids, I fucking covered and it. I think if I weren't as good as I was, I wouldn't have been on the knees and would have been kicked off.
Just for being the way you were.
I used to win gold, yeah, I used to mess around. But
yeah.
I try now, I do everything the way you're training, but then on the night, I would go out, I'd get chased, I'd get people running after us.
So what got you into boxing then, originally?
My next door neighbour, I don't know, do you know Billy Smith?
So.
He's from he suddenly flexed over to him. My mum now feels me. And I was outside, and I was having a foggy, so I'm keeping gloves on. I think for me, because come to the gym, so the next day I went to the gym. It's crazy. This, we went to the gym on a Wednesday. On the Friday, we had a medical, which you don't do. But everyone was getting a medical. Tomorrow, you had to get a medical. The next Friday, I had a fight in the ocean. 10 days after walking into the gym, I had my first fight. It was mad.
No.
I lost that fight, and then I won 15 on the bounce. So like,
see, I'm trying up to that point. That's literally the first time you stepped in the gym.
There was a kid called Gary Stowe, he's like one of the hard kids from the area. Really well-known kid. And he started to sign down the medal spar. Well, got told I was going to fight him outside. I knew he was. I'd win that chance. But I didn't know who he was when we sparred, and we had an absolute tear up. Both our noses were bleeding. And he got out, and I remember the police were going, yes, yes, jumping around, and we're laughing. Got both our medical. We both went on to, like, one of the best in the country. And then he went to prison for kidnapping. Kidnapping these 15, just never got back into it. And then I went to Small Thief, but we returned training, and we made Corkery. And from there, yeah, you just see me having a fight, and I had so many gloves on. Yeah, come on, come to the gym from there, never look back.
Brilliant.
Right, so some people think, nah, that couldn't happen. That's what happened. Like, he couldn't even Nash, I don't know if you know, he's on the white collar scene, he's had about 200 fights now. Never boxed amateur, just boxed about 10 years after it. It's mad.
How, you touched on it then, how hard was it, because I think I know a few people that you know and stuff, and how hard is it to stay professional and keep on going to the boxing to keep you out of trouble and keep you in a similar, out of a similar situation to like your mate there?
Yeah, my good mates like Mickey, Ollie, and that, they were like on the other side. But if they were going out to have a fight or they were going on a graft, they'd drop me on. Or they'd be like, you ain't coming out. No, I'd be on. Can they use? No, you're not. And my mates were like, any ounce of trouble, if it were towards me, they'd be like all over it. Nah, you know, I had never had trouble with anyone, or sort of thing, because they were around. But when things were getting messy, like when we're growing up, a lot of that, we're robbing cars and everything. And I'd be out in the cars and they'd go, friend, jump out, go. They'd keep me out in the middle of nowhere. So I'm going to do something. Well, I'm going to get home.
We're doing this for your own good. Yeah. Where am I?
No. I'd be going down. We're going to the club tonight. And I'll be like, yeah, buzzy, let's go. Do it. No, you're not coming.
Not you.
No. Sometimes, like, they go to me, I'll go and get changed. I'll go. I'm about to get changed. And they drive off. I think, the fuck, he was freaking not answering their phones or nothing. It was mad. But he was good. But I definitely, do you know Tom Chaney?
Yeah.
He was my coach. Like, yeah. He's on the ball. Like, he always says, you can't blagger and stuff like that. I remember Lee Mottball, the lad who got done for the murder. Yeah. I was in that car, I was just about to go to the game. And Lee's a filler fan. And then Maddie Mad to be a big Blues fan and everything, which was nothing to do with anything Blues filler fans, like I said. And Tom Chaney rang me, because I was frank on you, and I'll meet at the gym. So So I've gone to the gym, so I'm on the treadmill 20 minutes in. I'm like, oh, yeah, get out, coming. I just knew you were in that car, you ain't going with him. And then that day, that's when he got done from the world in that car. Oh, he didn't mean to kill him, everyone knows he never meant to kill him. Just one of them filming
few. He was in that situation.
Oh, man, it would have made a big thing out of him. I was there. Do you know what I mean? And I think someone threw a bottle through his car and a scaffold pole through his car. Sweet time, man, and he drove out and he ain't meant to kill anyone. No one could fail under it. It's just an accident. And he's like, half your life in prison because of it. It's a shame, really, because that could have been any of us that day.
It was, yeah, of course. Did you find that when you started establishing yourself then that people in the street were like, well, let's have a bit, sorry, or not really?
Like I said earlier, people I was around,
just
the bubble in their days, like all the lads, they were like the main kids on the town, so I never really had any troubles coming.
They sort it out.
I mean, I got into a few scrapes here and there.
Mm.
I didn't mind having a scrap in there, but the main people are dead, like, not a chance to go.
Yeah, sound like good lads.
So what happened, because I heard stories about you getting off the train, breaking your foot. You know the Blues Villa game when you were going to fight Sam Eggington? What happened, man? What happened to your foot?
I was playing football the day before in goals. And I was running against the wall, and as you go to turn, my foot just hit the wall. The next half thought, I'd be all right, and then I just couldn't walk. And you know Paddy Lynch, the Lynches. They're going, oh, we've got a doctor, brilliant. So me, Metz, and Cracker went in there. And I said, as you tell, he pulled my toe out. Right. And he put the needle in it. I've never screamed. I've never felt pain like it. And they're going, you sound like you're giving birth. I was screaming. And the next day, I'd done 12 rounds with Jason Wellborn, a sparred, brilliant match. Going, yeah, brilliant. Then got pain again. So I rang him and said, mate, the pain's back. It's the same. Okay, what do you think? Mate, I'm not going to do that needle every day. Not a chance. Could you do the day before the fight? I can do the day before the fight, but I'm not going to be able to train until the fight. My foot was black. It's my own fault. Stupidity, like. Same thing with before the Denver for South fight as well. I was playing football and done my ankle. Didn't tell no one, like. Then I ended up doing one of my best performances.
Yeah, you broke your jaw, didn't
it? Yeah, I remember when I hit him, you hear a big click in the arena. No, I know I didn't really realise what he was. Well, I watched on the video now, I could see he's leaning down and I chop it down. And you hear bang. Now, I remember sitting there, I'm in the on the store, and Kerry Casey going, it's jaws broke. Look at what? He's going, sure, carry on. Didn't want to tell me, like, blood coming out of his mouth. Fair blades, I wanted to carry on. Even when they stopped, he was going, nah, I'm fine. And the next fight, I boxed his stable, right, David Barnes. And I remember, we both were left handed by then, Hawk, and my mouth was a little bit, like, and my jaw went. And I've gone back to the corner, I've gone to something else, pull me out, my jaw's gone. Pulled my gum, she said, what are you doing? Two teeth fell off, flicked the two teeth out, put it back, and I said, do not touch that gum shield again, don't touch it. So I'm standing there like, from what's wrong with my jaw, I can't speak. So I got through it, but only because I could move, and because he was a bottle job, really. But at the beginning, he was touching my gloves, and I was going, banging it in him. Then after I broke my jaw's gone, you're right, yeah. He's been really nice to me, I was like, what an idiot, he should have jumped all over me. He would have put it all over me, probably would have got me out of there. So I've never felt pain like that. And if it weren't for Tom, I don't think I would have got through it. Then it made me realise how tough Denham Fasel was. Mine was only a fracture. He had four breaks in his jaw. Remember going into the change rooms after and his face was out there. Never seen nothing like it. Couldn't even talk and he wanted to carry on fighting. He tells the sort of person he's like.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever find them two teeth after the fight?
Oh, mate, no, I think the rest of them are gone with it. I remember, and then the doctor was there afterwards and Tom's going, oh, yeah, it's just his teeth. And the doctor's examining it. He's going, oh, yes, it's your teeth. Tom's holding his teeth, so I didn't really care. Then 2 weeks later, I'm in Manchester, and I've gone, these pies, Steve has. I went to the hospital. Couldn't have his fracture, and it's broke a bit. You need an operation. So we went to the QE the next day. They said, you don't need an operation. Just eat what we say for 2 weeks. You've all had the operation. We've got to play in, and then you can't box again.
Oh, really?
So that's yeah.
Why? Just shows the metal of the fighters, doesn't it?
And the fight after that, I broke my hand, and they said, I'm going to get Bradley Price. I've hit him on the head, he's gone. I brought your hand over you, and he kept pulling his head there and talking through for the whole fight. Then I think my next few fights after that, I was a bit wary, a broken jaw, broken, and I was all really panicking a bit. And then I was speaking to Tom, and he's going, listen, if you're right to be worried, you're in the fight game, the hurt game, you've just got to get on with it. That's when I started realising you're right. So.
Yeah, because how do you get around that with an injury? Like when you play football, you break your leg or whatever, and then the next challenge, when you go back. But obviously, if boxing is a combat sport, you're literally going into throw hands at each other. So. What's the mentality beyond?
Well, when you have a black eye, you swallow the next side, it still hurts a little bit or whatever. Well, yeah, your jaw and your hand, it's just different pain. Like, you can't punch with friends. you know, yeah, when you start letting it go again, and you can't feel it again, and it's just back to normal.
Yeah.
It just took me a while with my jaw, because I
feel
I knew how bad the pain was. So.
Mm.
And then...
Do you get people like, and come on, just give me some of these in sparring, just like, once it's
getting
back.
I don't want to get it, nah. The first time, I didn't wear my proper molded cum shield as well. I wore a 2-pound one because of a colic. And I think that was the reason it happened. Because when you have the proper ones, like, they keep your jaw intact. And then, like, they take the shit to force off the shots.
You can buy down onto them.
And they're just stuck to you, and they're hard anyway.
Yeah.
The 2-pound ones are moving your mouth, isn't it?
Oh, when you said to him, don't take them out again, you're thinking, this keeping everything in...
It's all shared together.
It's the pain, it's too bad. Like, I was just like, do not touch my mouth. He's talking on flat, thinking about my jaw, won't even listening to anything. The only good thing was that I could move, and I knew I'd make people miss. So that's what he said to me afterwards. I wouldn't have put anyone through that, but I knew what you were about, and I knew you could get through it.
So I, in your career, you are kind of recognised as a craftsman, aren't you?
Yeah.
You're a technically gifted boxer. At what point did you become the technically gifted boxer versus like Sam Eggington fight? Everyone was saying it's Sol's, Mike's 420 because he just comes out to get punched in the air, but he'll, you know, he's game. Whereas you're there for the craft.
Yeah.
So at what point, was that something that from day one, you were just, it was counting that drill?
I didn't like getting hit. I didn't know how to box 24 to 10 days. So people were punching, I used to block them like that, and then catch them, and catch them. And I remember Steve McCall, he was one of my coaches, and he said, you got one of the worst stars I've ever seen, but you keep winning. And then him and Tom Lloyd started doing bits, and then he become a good style. And I remember when I first turned that England training, I was doing all that stuff. And then they wanted to get like that, but I was doing, but I kept winning. And James the girl come in rolling and wonder doing everything. So they couldn't tell us off, because me and him were bringing that into, so we were winning gold. And we're winning everything. Then all of a sudden, now you've got everyone doing it. But I don't think many were doing it before we were doing it.
How did you find it in the amateurs with guards, with taller fighters?
You know, I was all about my feet, so I didn't really bother about it. Yeah, I boxed kids who were 6'4", sometimes at my 10 stone, it was crazy, and I boxed the old people. Every night of them was my feet. So I'd just sit just out of range, I could make you miss by that. Then I can come straight back, and in the end, I think, because I'd make people miss and catch them every time. In the end, they'd stop throwing. So when they stop throwing, I'd just jump all over them then.
So you're a pro, you got the medals behind you. You got a bit of steam. You have a world title fight.
Yeah.
Now talk us through that. How that came about and what you remember of it. Yeah.
Yeah. I was at home. I offered it to Timothy Bradley fight in America for a final eliminator for Cal Brook. I think it was $175,000, something like that. So I've took it up. I hate flying. I flew since 2009. Went to Tenerife and the air hostess done that line. And I remember I got a boat back from Tenerife. So that's it. I haven't been on a plane since.
Why?
And now my missus is going, we're going to have to fly. We're going to go to Disneyland Paris. I'll tell you about the cruise. So I'm not going to fly, but they're bad. Like, you're going to fly, I'm not going to fly. And then walks in Spain for the European toll. Got the boat over 24 hours. But then I was at home. Cal Brook was on telly ready here. I was talking about voluntary. And they're going, here you go. I don't know. Yeah, we're just drinking. So I texted Eddie and I'll do it. So you see him on the telly, he looks at Cal goes, and he goes, I'll give you a 2-round. I said, no. And he goes, I'll give you Serie Falls. Not a chance. So you're going, you think, well, yeah, but now you're getting a world title show. I think it was 115, something like that in the end, but when you said about that, 115. And he said, definitely, I said, 100%, yeah. Bought it. And then went to the gym the next day, Tom. The power was a lot bigger than me. I think it was easier to fight out there. I said it to Tom in off-books, and I said, well, he took it. He's going, well, I'll talk it. And he goes, what do you mean, I'll talk it? I said, you said to him, remember Ian Johnson from the MMA?
Yeah.
You said to Ian Johnson last week, if I never get a world title shot, I'll probably to try this day. I'll try to do it as well. Yeah, I've gone, decoder. That's why.
Oh, so you just took it off your own back here, I'll have it.
Yeah, because I remember him saying, if he never gets a world title shot, like, it's tragic. So I never offered it, straight away, I jumped on it. I don't think I offered it then.
Yeah.
I said it to him, and then when I said that, I said, what you said, and then he's, yeah, great.
And what do you remember the actual fight then?
Remember, I had the weigh-in. Easy to remember the weigh-in. I always really struggled with 10-7. I don't know what. I know now. Like, I've 8 liters of water a day. I would do that. I'm like, probably 400 mil a day. I had like a turkey wrap, a chicken wrap, and a bit of salad on the night. I'd eat so little, but then I'd snack on chocolate while I was like an idiot.
Yeah.
We've known now, look, like Lee's at like four meals a day, and I've been losing weight. All of my intents, I know it's just mad on what you know now. If I knew then,
yeah,
it's one of them. Well, then I've ducked for him. I made about, I think it was 10, 30 this week. And the next day, you get 10 pound weighing. And I was eating loads, but because I've done the weight so well, I remember jumping on scales, I was 10, 12, I only put 4 pound on. All I normally used, so I have a box at 10, 7, I'd get in the lock at 11, 10 the next day. So going there, that was 10, 12, he jumped on, I think he was 11, 3, dead on. With his swayers, so you could see, he's done the bath, to get you back down. So I looked at him and thought, he ain't that big, sweet. And when I looked at him in the other corner on the night, he was massive. Couldn't believe how big he was. He'd be like 2 stone at least. And he's just, he's got Dominic Ingrid in his corner, so we're fighting. And Dominic Ingrid was talking him through it, going, jab, step, step. And I know what he's telling him, but he's still playing on my mind. And he's just talking through it, going, jab, step, backhand, touch the body. And I'm thinking, like, I know what he's doing there. And it's like, he got in my head, Cal, and Cal was just a different level. He's the only person as a pro, I can say, he's better than me. No disrespect to Sam Engton, when I was on, I think he wouldn't have beat me. The Spanish kid in Spain wouldn't have beat me. Wouldn't do, I still don't think beat me, I think I beat him. But Carl Book was better than me. He's like the only performer I've ever seen in the club. When I hit you in the chin, when I hit you in the nose, when I hit you in the cheek, when I hit you in the eyebrow, we're all just hit you in the face, or forgot, or hit him where I want. Okay. But that's the name in, mate. So he knew where he was hitting you. It was mad, it's like he's everything so accurate. They had this little thing when he leaned back, his timing was like seconds and none. He was mad. And he's the only person I could say, you know what, he was better than me.
It's no small thing, or it's no bad thing, is it then, to say that the only thing that stood in the way of world title was someone that you can say, yeah, he was a boxer.
But when he had Khan, everyone was going, Khan, I was going, Khan will never be, I knew Khan could. Khan wouldn't have been in his prime either, because Cal's timing was too good and he would have walked him on something where Khan was all about speed. But after 2 or 3 rounds with Khan, get used to his speed. But you was warm today, tomorrow, the next day, the next day. And first 2 rounds are the most horribly strange I've seen. He's just free like a machine gun, you just allow him to move. But I had good feet, so I could all try and frustrate him a bit. Then after 2 rounds, you'd be used to it, you could have a go with him. With Brook, you can't beat that timing. That's when they always say, Khan would have given Mayweather a good fight, not a chance. His timing was too good. And Mayweather would have smashed Crawford as well, 100%.
Yeah. What did you think of that?
Aubrey Lawford, Canelo for?
Class. I thought Canelo was going to break him off in about 6 rounds just because of his size. But Canelo is not what he was, 100%. Last few fights, you've seen him like declining all the time, haven't
you? Yeah. You put any kind of gravitas on the Mexican meat?
No, 100%.
And being monitored more closely?
I think Hacker was a cheat as well. Because growing up, he got knocked out. And then all of a sudden, Margarito, Carter, he's bashing him all. Then Alex Risa leaves. And then he gets knocked out by Marquez, who beat with him sometimes. And Marcus said, I hate him, he just looked good shots, but he just walked through. He even said himself, and Carney was getting dropped by Gomez, Lehman. Then all of a sudden he went to a reset, and he kind of got dropped by Medina and all them, and they were hitting flood. And he's going through, and then all of a sudden Alex Risa left them to go to the Mayweather review. Then Carney's been knocked out by that fog, I guess he got dropped by him twice. Packer's got knocked out, and then all of a sudden Packer wants to find Mayweather with dual chest because he knows the Risa's at Mayweather's camp. So obviously then he was out there, all of a sudden he didn't want drug test, he wouldn't have a needle in him.
Then yeah, all of a sudden he's got fear of needles.
Then all of a sudden, after a reason left, he wants to do it. It's mad.
So where do you stand with like the celebrity boxing now, where you're fighting people?
The Misfits and stuff.
You got the Misfits, but even more so, it's not really celebrities, because they are, he is a boxer, but with the cloud around it, Conor Benn and like Eubank. And when you see that, like when Ben beat like Algieri, for example, he was massive, wasn't he?
My Ben's 100% cheap, no doubt about it. I spied Ben down with GB, Rob McCracken, and then I'm absolutely tired of him. He was game, he was strong, but to have that much improvement that quick, it's just crazy. And now GB said, I box Pacquiao. He said, and he weren't as fast as Ben. He weren't as strong him as anything as Ben. He said, Ben would be here and then he'd be there. That's just not natural. Even like, they know, people know now how to like, get away with it, you know what I mean? They know the cycles, they know when to do the test, when to come, some of them go abroad and then come back, knowing they're going to have a test, but they know it's out of the system and get back into it again. It's mad, like, I was reading about stuff and speaking to all the people who are in the know. They're saying, we could tell you just before the fight, it's going to leave your system so you won't fail on the drug test, but you've still got it in you. you know, certain drinks and put certain things in you so you won't file a drug test.
Mask what's in your lot.
No. I've been on the railway and people are like, smoke weed. And then they have a drug test, but they get this drink online, drink it, and then turn shop and a drink. It's a phrase you got. You'd never think it's just
possible. One step ahead of resolve, isn't it?
Mad, yeah. Mm. You can't check with the railway, like, obviously, you can queue for the piece. But as a boxer, like, you're having a wee, and the person's just standing there looking at you. You know, that's the hardest thing ever when someone's looking at
it. Can't go then.
Yeah, I have to drink so much, so it just forced out of me, sort of thing.
Yeah.
Mad. But Mark Tyson said that once, he bought a fake dick, didn't he? So he squeezed it into the bottom, which is crazy, like.
What, you get away?
They just blindly look at you, you can't get away with cheating this.
But how's it feel for you now? Because obviously you're coaching, you're representing boxers, and you've got like Matro, for example, with Dillian White, the thing after the Revis fight came out that they knew that he'd failed the test, and then he disappears for 2 years, no talk of it, then he's just back. Then the Conor Benn thing. So how do you impress on the boxer then that you want him to be a clean boxer and an honest boxer when you see people we've rewarded for it?
One thing, if you file a test for any ped, you should be banned for life. Not 2 months, not 3 months, and you should be banned for life because you kind of put some danger. Especially if you don't admit it. Now, if you admit it, you say, yes, I fucked up, whatever, might be a 4 year ban.
Yeah.
4 year ban, you've done it. But when people who like, completely deny it.
Yeah. But
Liam Cameron, he got 4 years for cocaine. It was 0.2 something, but he filed a drink test with the police. So they took him to the station and tested him for that. He had 0.2, the smallest amount you could ever have. But then he said, oh, I must have touched the note, what we were in. So like, he's not shown me any remorse, not saying he did, but I believe he did. So no way you're going to have him, you know, as you've not took a swab from him and I've seen it there. Anyway, because he touched him and done that, so.
Someone told me to sniff that note.
So yeah. Don't get me wrong, he shouldn't have got a 4 year ban.
Yeah.
Because he's not.
It's not performance enhancing.
If anything, he's taking out of him, or anything, you know what I mean? He got a 4 year ban. To be fair, third place, he's come back and he smashed it.
It's like that big boy with Gerard Miller. The amount of different drugs are found in him. Yeah, he was the worst boxer. Like, they're not even performance enhancing, are they?
Yeah, not for
he's not, it's no condition. He can't throw a punch, but he's got 15 different types of banned substances in him.
Any person touching any pet, you should 100% be took away from it.
So back in the day, when you're all over at the heart of your farm and that, and you're out and about, everyone knows who you are. Did you ever have any run-ins, or was it generally like mutual respect in time with?
The feel of that, because that thing happened with Lee, they don't like me. I said, justice for Lee Rockwell, because he didn't do it, he didn't try to kill someone. Yes, he did die, but he wasn't a murder, it was like an accident. And they didn't like me. When I was at Aston Villa, I had the goals in Aston, about 50 of them surrounding me. And I was just sitting there, I was on my phone, like this, climbing on my phone, in my shorts, ready to go for outside. I looked up and there was about 50 in the woman. Some woman's come out now, she's come in a minute, she put me down, she'd run to the bottom of the black cab waiting for you. So I ran to the bar, I was on friends, and they asked them about it all, come running around the sidewalk, taxing me. They wouldn't have done it as large was. They'd done it because I was on my own, and then knew they could get away because I wouldn't have been able to do anything. And then just a few little things like that, but not really, I used to hang around the blues lot anyway, so.
Was you part of the old Zulus back then, or you had some...
I really wanted. Nah. Didn't, you know, I'm not going to say it deep because it never happened. I didn't really see the point of it. Mm. Of my boxing match, and my adrenaline's going and all that, then I can understand it, but I didn't really get that. I'll go like Dean Coleman, because I'll be around loads of them, but they'd all be loving it, and I'll be loving it.
Well, that's their boxing match, isn't it?
I was in the Black Horse one day, and some kid, I don't know who he was. Yeah, just around me, or the park commanded Gremlins. I said, no, I'm not going nowhere, mate. That didn't do it for me.
So I can't change of plan if you're not coming. Yeah, I'm messaging back. Frankie ain't coming back.
That didn't really do it for me, you know what I mean? I used to love being down there, love being around it all.
Yeah.
But it just didn't really do for me, that, to be fair.
So can we touch on your recent foray into bare-knuckle boxing?
Yeah.
Well, we spoke a little bit before, didn't we? That it's not what you were, what you envisaged
to expect. To be honest, I've got a bit more. Since I've quit boxing, though, I've retired, I've struggled with everything. I've struggled to keep the job. I struggle if you are better. I just haven't found something. Boxing's what I love.
Three bites.
Yeah, and I've struggled. I'm just laboring at that, man. I should really have a gym. I should be doing other things. But I didn't impress how I should have, to be fair. And it's always up and downs with me, because I've been central attention, having everything around you. and just being like, to be fair, my partner now, her boxing's all about giving that light again, to be fair. And then someone mentioned about a knockout fight, and I thought, you know what, so I beat somebody, a few grand, and I was just kidding myself. I was training, but I was like nowhere near as hard as I used to train. Been running too much. Yeah, I do 2 more runs. It's fucking wheelie, to be fair. And I was going to gym, spending hour doing a couple of rounds sparring, a couple of shadow. I was just kidding myself that I was a pro fighter again. I just loved the fight. It's just not there anymore, to be fair. I don't know. Boxing was, I could still go and I could still be a lot of professional boxer, I believe. I got my head back into it and wanting to. But it's just the money coming right then, I thought. Then when I got there, like, I was in the change room and I was looking at them, loads of them shitting themselves. I was thinking, what are you scared about? I'm normally, when I box, I was the most nervous guy ever. I was so nervous. I thought, anything good wrong with me? Am I going to die in here? All things allowed, you have a mad question. I just couldn't give a fuck, to be fair. Like, I wasn't bothered. And when I got beat, like I thought, it, to be honest, with the BKB, it's a 22nd K, isn't it? And the BKB season 10. So I was like, sitting there, and when he said 10, I stopped him, like, I was half relieved. Can't tell when, but I was thinking he was going to count to 20, like, because we can sure get up or not. There's 20, like, and it just weren't there. The, like, I'm really competitive, like, even on FIFA, like, I won't even let my kids beat me. I'm 3 years old, so
yeah,
I didn't mean I trip him up, like, just my job here in front of him. But I just weren't, like, it just didn't really matter to me. Like, I like Conatini's son, and he keeps slagging, going, ah, boxers are shit at bare knuckle, but he couldn't box. We're going to get into that.
They're two completely different dynamics.
The reason he went to bare knuckle was because he wasn't a good boxer. He was a good boxer, he went out, he likes size, whatever. And he goes, yeah, boxer, she's a bare knuckle. But we probably wouldn't have been, but I'm 40 years of age. James Gold's 40 years of age. Jamie Cox, he's nearly 40 years of age. You know what I mean? We're old men.
Yeah.
And we've lived the pinnacle of our career in boxing. And they wouldn't be able to lace our gloves in our time. But it's their game now, and it's a young man's game, it's their game, so fair play to them, do you know what I mean? But
well, it's like comparing apples and oranges, and it's a completely different thing.
People who can't box go into it, not in a prequel, it's what they've really done. People who couldn't make a pinnacle in boxing, they go into that. Fair play, kind of smashing, to be fair. And he's a nice kid, I do like him, and he trains hard as well. I seen him in the training for the fight, and he was like, when I'm in the gym, I'm not just going. Couldn't give a fuck at that time. When I boxed, I was like first in the gym, last day of the gym. But at this time, I couldn't. And he's like where I was. And you can see him loving it, wanting every bit of it. And he trains hard, so he deserves everything he gets from it, to be fair. But it's just not for me. It just weren't for me at all. It's the way he was like mad, the way he was running. No, you ever heard of Frank Warren press conference. He set up like days before everything. So they were going there, just sending one off, like staring there, like he was mad. It's like so like Mickey Mouse compared to what we used to be in boxing.
Mm.
So, but at least one of these lies, it's not going to be boxing, it's never going to be boxing because it's not PR boxing.
Mm.
The only good thing is people won't get hurt as bad because you're not having 12 rounds. I know you only got 8 ounce gloves or 10 ounce gloves. You know, people get hurt because you get tired in the 8th, 10th, 11th round. But in the bare knuckle, you start getting kicked, you're probably going to go in here. But one thing I can say is, you know, in boxing, you get tested properly, in that you don't. So people will take a lot more punishment in that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, if people are fully clean athletes.
Regulated. Mm.
Are regulated, then you won't, people won't be taking shots to take.
Yeah.
People won't be as strong as what they are.
Did you say, I think we said off camera, you walked in that changing room, you'd see people that were like,
you know, I've seen people hitting, punching steel pillars. Punching them. They were like, oh, no. And they were up for it, like they were loving it. And I was thinking, what am I doing?
I'd imagine that's what Paulie Malignaggi had a similar experience with a knife, hadn't it? Because he's gone out and he's fought and he's boxed beautifully, hasn't he?
Last 3 rounds, brilliant.
Yeah.
Then
he's come out of it looking like he's had a car crash.
Yeah, and I think the age as well, like 3 rounds, you're good. When I was in the gym, I was fine, but you believe just catch it up, yeah. That was good as you were, and you get tired. And people forget, Tyler Goodjohn was a decent boxer. He won an English title, I'm sure he did. He had like 20 pro fights, boxed amateur. So he's not like he's just the bare knuckle, he's going to hold you. That's why he was probably the best bare knuckle fight I've seen in the UK because they both could box.
Yeah.
Normally, like, some only one can box, or none of them can box.
Yeah.
But these two both could box. And you could see, when they were close, John was catching around the side, lifting them up, going around, just being dirty, or hitting to the body, to be fair, because he wanted to hold his hands.
Yeah.
That's the fight I would take, the Malignaggi fight, definitely.
Yeah.
In bare knuckle as well, that's the only fight I'd take in bare knuckle now. But I think we're both good skilled boxers.
Well, that would be the boxing match.
That'll be the most skillful bare knuckle boxing match.
And I would train for that. The kid I was fighting, no disrespect, he's Jack Dugdale. I think he's suffers a lot of mental health and You know, he told me, like, he was an alcoholic, he struggled, like, and since I boxed, since why, yes, he beat me, I don't really care. Didn't really mean nothing to me, but I like him, the North kid.
Well, that's a nice thing for him, isn't it? On his record then, whether it's boxing or bare knuckle, he gets to say he's one of the baby Frankie Gavin.
He lost the weekend, it's mad, like, because I think the kid that I do was well a boxer, he was good at that holding, and he sure could do it.
Yeah.
I'm no good with that holding, because you don't hold in boxing.
Yeah.
So I hate to not.
Like you say, your footwork, you're in and out of there, you're avoiding that at all costs, aren't you?
I felt sorry for him, to be fair, but the good thing was, he said, first time he's ever boxed, and the next day he's sober, so fair play to you.
Yeah, that's good.
And he's a lovely kid, to be fair. I said, I'll go and see him soon.
Mm.
So normally, even before the fight, I can't remember before he was saying.
Is it harder to beat someone up if you like him?
No, when you're in there, you
don't care.
You don't care, like, you don't. Mate, we'll fight my brother once that ball goes, mate, it's on.
Yeah, I'm probably worse if I find it.
You talked there briefly about the ups and downs of mental health and trying to recreate the, or trying to replicate the feeling. Obviously, in the midst of argument with Ricky Hatton, very similar thing where people around have said, you know, you could never really find the buzz and recreate the buzz. And you were kind of a parallel, weren't you, Blues fans, kind of the way it was with Man City fans. So you had this following. So what do you do? What support is that?
There is nothing.
No.
This is what I was touching base on. The bridge box, the wooden foley, and I know they are safety first. My palm is just for the brain scan. Touch wood, she's okay, but we're not sure at the minute. But, like, she's ringing them up. They're telling her when to ring her up. She's ringing them up and they're saying, listen, how long does a piece of string? You know what I mean? Look after the fire, put something there for them, so we know, and then we'll speak to them properly, have a good chat with them, give them counselling or something, I don't know what. But now she's like, I don't even like living with her at the minute. She's like, damn, depressed, like, I retired myself. She might have to just get took away from her.
Oh,
so I can't, 26, I can't forget nothing worse. She was told for me the other day, she goes, I said, listen, I don't know, because I retired. Well, getting retired, it's a bit different thing.
Yeah.
If it happens, it might not over your last year's had a brain scan thing. So hopefully, could get new neurologists or speak to each other. Then they say whether you can box or not. But if they say no, then they say you can appeal it. But me personally, if I always got told no, I would have boxed.
Yeah.
I would have went to Ireland, Malta, America. I would have took, well, I would have took elsewhere. I don't know if I got told, because that man, that's all I had, it's all I wanted. She's a school teacher, she's a mum. So it's a bit different for her.
Yeah.
If he gets brain damage, he's that kid. Well, with the dad, it's a bit different. You know yourself. Yeah. With the mum, he's orderless. He's beside with her. She's his rock, really. And he's her rock. So she can't, so I can't say to her, go and fight somewhere else.
Yeah.
If something happens to her, I'll blame myself.
Of course.
Yeah. And she can't really afford to do, because she's got her kid. Mm. And she's a school teacher as well, so.
So when you come out of boxing then, is it just kind of, all right, see you later?
There's nothing. See you, Olympic gold medalist.
Nothing.
All I told you about, you just walk away, no one's even following, there's no welfare, no nothing.
No, nothing. I don't know, I think even they put courses on or something for you to learn trades or whatever, I don't know. But I'll say to Sean and my partner, she's got two honours, I think, sports coaching and human biology, so whatever. She's got 2 degrees, I know she's a senior school maths teacher. So if she got something there, well, I didn't have nothing.
Well, you're straight into it from school. That's your education, then, isn't it? And again, you've probably, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, you probably prioritise boxing then over school, and you're like, well, I won't do that, I'm going to be a boxer anyway.
100%, yeah.
And then when that finishes, then you're like, oh, all right. Like you say, if I'm against training, or you're not going to be in the trade.
Cool. I remember I was in school, and I said, I'm going to be a boxer. They didn't believe me, like the school artists here.
Career's advice, but
there's a PE teacher called Mr. Wallinson, and he said to the older school, because there's this kid in year 7, something about him. Like he said, there's just something about him. He said, you know, so I remember I won the cross country, must get in my shoes. And I remember I made the football training to go and see him. I had a detention with art, and I skipped the detention and went there. Then she come out of art, she goes, come on, you got detention. He's going, you're not coming to the team, you're not on football team, that's sad. I won the cross country in a few years, and he goes, I went in football team from boxing. I had it cleared out of boxing. And then year 11, I won the school board title, which is the whole of England, all the brilliant schools. So then they send your schooler there with Archbishop Bills, you know. And then the school called me, look, on, you're the British champion. I said, yes. And I realised I was quite good then.
Oh, then all of a sudden it's
Yeah, I've never been abroad at this point, nothing. I'm 16. I got a phone call 3 days from the GCC. You're going to Junior Olympics. Got what? I'm in America. You've got a passport. Remember Bill Meddings? I didn't have money. I was a single mom. She had 3 jobs. Like, remember Bill Meddings and Tom Chaney when they got me a passport from Peterborough? He drove down South Bill. Just like 8 years of age, yeah. Then I went there. I had a boxer called Ray Robinson, which is mad. He's already drew with Josh Kelly as a pro. And I'm a big, tall, black kid, like, and I'm a little, thingy, little skinny, white kid. And I've had him and all the Americans of all quiet, like, and I boxed Stephen Smith, you know, Calisbury. He's my best friend as well, in the end, I'm the boxing. I beat him in America. I didn't really want to fight him. He's mad England against England in the tournament. And I went to a coach to Wisconsin, there's a guy called Michael Granell. He just threw it to another heavyweight. We boxed on a pro card in the final. They only picked 3 amateurs to go, so it was us. So I'm sitting next to some kid on the way to have Clarice's PSP, headphones. We had a headphone each, talking at a 6 hour journey, about 4 hours into. What are you? I'm 51. What's your name? Well, I was like, before you mean, pull my headphones out. Where's the sand inside of the beam? And I just remember it, like, and then on the way back, we sat next to each other. And I remember I come out, he's only a little thing. And he ducked and he hit me with a body shot. I'll never find nothing. I was about to get down, I thought I can't get down. And then I beam on point, and then I remember Emmanuel Stewart.
Yeah.
He come up to me after the fight and he goes, hey, phone number. So I give him a phone number. I give my mum's phone number because I didn't have a phone then. He never rang it, don't get me wrong, but it's a good story.
Yeah.
It was good, yeah. 3 fights.
What happened to your GCSEs?
I did them. Just in Durham in the end, I went there. But to be fair, they didn't mind.
I was going to say, I bet the school didn't mind that.
I mean, I'll come back, got me the score, my gold medal. Then when I won the World Championships, they got me back in. And when I was in school, they didn't want me there. When I might have got me in, I've never been called back since, but when I won the World Championships, I was at 6 fights in 10 days, and Mr. O'Donnell's coming in because, man, you have 6 fights today here. Why am I touching a big grin there? Like, I was just laughing about it. And then they brought me into the school, and as I was bringing in, there's a guy, ROP, like Dan Warren, I don't know if you wouldn't know. He had a box of Big Blues fan, I think it was 4 years ago as a pro. And as I was walking in, he was getting taken by the police. Like, can I find my friend? When you box it for the same gym as me, like, and they're just looking at me, they're the same as you, like, it is mad.
Have you got to have a little bit about yourself?
Also, you got to be
a bit
annoyed. A bit weird, I think.
Because we had John Peggin and John Pegg were saying that.
Yeah, something a bit
awkward. None of you are right, yeah.
Definitely not. Some of the things you do, like I said, when you train on your own, not even the fighting part, just the things you do to make weight. The way you get yourself mentally involved. Because I don't remember, like, no, you go outside now, some because you want to train that. Don't really have much time to think, so you can't have a square. Now when you got like 3 months out, you think that keeps on your mind every day.
No.
You're sleep, thinking about you waking up, thinking about you, thinking about the bad things that can happen, the good things that can happen.
Yeah.
So you've got to be mentally strong to do stuff like that, I believe.
What do you think about all this internet stuff now and the whole calling people out and on the phones?
It's quite telling fault in Jack Paul.
That's stupid, the way it's too big. It really tends to break him up. Whatever he does, I don't know, but he should do, to be fair. But like, they call you now, but I don't mind. I say to my missus all the time, start slagging everyone. Start walk up to Joe's and slap someone around her face. Start doing something. Because she's really well spoken. You'd think she's a posh girl in the world if you spoke to her. Like. But,
too nice.
She's just a normal person. No, but she's in there. She's game as well, yeah. To be fair.
So what'd you get into? Would you go and fight Wayne Bridge?
Oh, we'll do it just to chin him. Yeah. And get paid. Yeah. I'll do it, yeah.
Some of that missed it stuff.
I don't think he's right, because we play football and they're going to play with us. And in the boxing, you get hurt. I think a boxer got KO'd last night or something. A goalkeeper.
Oh, it was on Saturday, right? A Paddy Cannon.
Yeah, and he left.
Coach Davis knocked him out,
didn't he?
Was it Davis?
Yeah.
I think that Bentley fight was.
Yeah, Jody Morris knocked Bentley over him. Yeah, he said he was really nice because he played for Tottenham and he played for Arsenal, so his next chance got to do two of them.
Someone was in the change, I think it was Nielsen, got Frank Sinclair.
Yeah.
A few of them were in there a week, they said, there we go, and they were going. Jody Morris, he's going to get dealt with and he's going to get hurt.
Really?
Yeah, no.
Because it was the ex-Swansea forward, it was the big lad that
used to be. I've seen him.
Is that saying he's in great shape. Now everyone underneath put him. Absolutely juiced off his gills.
Yeah. Skill school bloke. Oh, God, I don't know, man.
Football EFL heritage from, what's his name?
He's been on Soccer IM every week doing the skills for Swansea. Oh, God.
A tubes, is it?
No, that's oh, God. Look at that.
Yeah,
you know what I've had once? Troy Deeney. Mate, I wouldn't want to fight him.
Can't did you see him on that?
Mate, he was good. He good bang. When I opened my gym, he come down to do some one-to-ones. He shot me, to be fair. He could box a bit. And he could bang.
Yeah.
Good, serious power on him.
He's from the wood, and he's...
Craig could punch as well, to be fair.
Yeah.
Really stiff, but he could punch. Yeah. Not Patrick Craig, yeah.
Lee Trundle.
Trundle, yeah.
Yeah, Trundle. Yeah. I'm buying a celebrity game for him on the 3rd of November, Redditch.
Yeah.
That's good then.
Yeah.
I'm coming down to them Coots Games as well.
Yeah.
They've got all the better order content. I think that'd be good for you.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Got a lad there called Scully. I don't know if you know him. Got a good few followers on there from doing that.
Right, yeah, can.
All the guys are loads of TikTok, they're all on in there, just comes about football and they're all fear and everything.
Yeah, yeah, well, that's how all that
new football stuff.
I do not say too much because I'll get in trouble.
Yeah. So bring it back down to here. What's your fondest memories down the Blues?
Well, Uncle, he passed away when he was 38. So when I was like 6 up, so he talks to me down there. I used to love Man United, like growing up, I've been alive, but yeah. He brought me down here and I used to love it. And when he passed away, my brother caught me in. Do you know Tommy Leachman?
Yeah.
And Timmy, like, I always go with him. They all put me on. From my other uncle, Thomas, Thomas Bergen, he was Tommy Leachman's best mate and killed himself at 21. And then me and Tommy become close, and I just want to come to the games with Tommy as well. And my brother said a season ticket holder down there, but I didn't draw you, so I said, you know, but you're hard on me to get up this way. I'll come when I can. But yeah, of
course. You've been through the hard years, haven't you? So it's nice to see you come out the other end now, bar the weekends.
It's raining hard years now, isn't it? Don't get me wrong, the final's good. I remember as well, Frank Warren got my tickets and Craig Harden got my tickets for a final against Arsenal. And all the lads were up the top and I was down the bottom, so I went first. The horse brings one of the palm. I said, do you want to swap? But when you ask what we asked, so they'll swap me at the end. They were right next to the trophy and it was telling me story. And I remember, I don't know who he was, some guy was drunk next to us, he's doing already anyway. And he jumping up, so he took the we pushed him. So he broke his leg on the chair, says we carried that up on the top all the way down. We were all ranting him, so we got away from him. We're gonna get nicked there we are. So he joined them, pushed him and broke his legs. He's got stuck and broke his neck, so snapped.
Oh, I thought that was a joke from him too far. That's a final story, he's not gonna forget.
He got carried down, it was funny.
Yeah, you're watching this, just say sorry.
Talking about Cowbrook earlier, he's got a fight. He's taking Hatton's replacement, isn't he? He's fighting the guy that Hammer's going to fight in Dubai. So would you take a little fry over there? Would you get involved in any of those cuts? It's kind of an exhibition. It's an exhibition, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then to find a boat route to Dubai.
Yeah. It's our fight. I'd box really well, of course. It's 100% lie. I got offered. I don't know if you know Jeremy Horrocks. He's from World Clay Gym, Bush Elder. He's got a disabled kid and I said I'd do a fight with him. I think he's got Down syndrome and the boxing good. No, you can't. Stuff like that, I don't understand why they do. All the time, but he's not medical and everybody's not going to get hurt there.
Yeah.
But the one I was going to fight inside, I can understand that's a big fight, like 6-2s, whatever. Fair enough, you do, boy, you're bored, you do the medical, your brain's going to be all about safety, so that's fair enough. But not for the little things like that, but yeah, I do. Do me shits as well if the right thing come, yeah. I know I'm not well wise, so I'm not going to fight no spring chicken. I'm not, you know what I mean? An ex-pro or something, or something like that, I'll do it.
Right, media? You've been involved in media and stuff like that. Obviously, Matt Macklin does quite well. Was really well.
Macklin's one of them lucky people, and he's got that Premier accent and he pulls you off. You know what I mean? No one wants to hear
what he's out of accusations and he's trying to just take the edge off it.
He's really clever and always been well spoken, I think. So, I would do it, like, and I think my boxing brain is second to none. I think I know loads about boxing and loads of that.
You'd absolutely destroy some of these ex-pros or these footballers or these...
They'll probably get in trouble, yeah.
...celebrity
person. I couldn't do one of them. I don't think Matthew's one of them. But a few of the others are for the home fire. They give the home fire time. Matthew's probably one of the only ones I've seen. He's for Alex Arthur as well. He's good. But I think I couldn't look out. Being someone who'd be losing high when he's close, I'd just have to tell
that. Yeah, that's why you got to mute Sky Sports half the time, haven't you? Definitely. Would you, if you were doing Misfits, would you sign one of these contracts where you're not allowed to do that, and you've got to basically let them win and make them look good?
I will let them win, I ain't got that in me too, fair.
WWF.
I don't care how much
money. I think he's adding zeros onto the...
I can't do it.
Nah.
I see the opportunity now to come. That's what I said. I was really good at making people miss an apple. I just couldn't be a journeyman at the end of my career. I've done it losing. That's why I give up because people will beat me. Who should beat me? So,
pride thing, man.
Yeah, I can't lose.
Was there one fight where you were like, this is, I've got to be honest with myself, I can't do it.
My hunger's gone.
It weren't really that. I just want to train off. I didn't train. I mean, I still give him a tail up for 8 rounds, but I just didn't train up. I was out of the game, I was partying, you know, doing everything I shouldn't have been doing, to be fair. more worried about failing a test course. So like, not bad, obviously, but from less than around. Than I was about a fight. I weren't like, I fell out of love with the game. I would, probably after the cowboy fight, that was me done then. I just never took it serious again, like, and weren't even bothered, like, train like a week. At the Woodhouse fight, I had some bad news with the family before it. But that's when I was boxing, I just went after rails, and then I've been training to the week of the fight. Lost the stone in the week, and then boxing. But he's mad, like, in 5 rounds with my, but he don't even know he's, he done well, but I didn't train for it. I didn't, like, my head was all over the place with family problems, and,
You reckon that's the only reason you beat him?
No, I'll beat him. It didn't be me. He very says he did. I remember on the night, like, he said, close, and then he said, he knew he lost. If he lost the fight, he said to me, the week, I won, but we had a terrible boxing match to win that. When we jabbed, mate, after the first round, he's come out of the first round boxing, I'll come out of that. I was wanting to have a fight with him, but I remember he had this little black box, and we're sitting in there, they're going, world amateur champion, and all these colour. I swear, it was a flick of a coin, I was going to walk back out to leave the arena. Just go on. Was that like, no one's going to, then we just had a tear up in there. Then after that, I knew then, I've got to take this seriously now, get my head together. And I went back to London. I wanted to go probably country anywhere, amateur coach. But people got on his head and said, no, you can't take it, you or if you rude him, whatever. Then I think I was 12-0, something like that. I went to the whole green gym, I remember, then I went and I didn't even know I was coming. All the time was me, I was like, you're going to find me? And he's gone, like, I messed up, make him mind up, because if you don't, I'm not going to box again. Then next morning, he rang me, yeah, I was his coach, his wife. To be fair, when you train me, like, he took me on like his son.
So you need to be full on.
I lived there, like, done it, like, it wasn't a joke or nothing. He done my washing, he done my food, I didn't do nothing.
So you're...
Yeah, nothing, that's exactly what he said. Then I went over, like, with other coaches or whatever, didn't realise how good I did have it, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
We gelled, like, I made him a better coach, he made me a better boxer. I think we both learned the game together, if you know what I mean. If he weren't like, an experienced coach, I went to him, I wasn't an experienced boxer. I think we learned together. Well, he was obviously good. I was the only kid who was boxing in the inning. He was always coming the corners with us, and that's obviously Terry Edwards, who appreciate what he did for me. Like, before the Worlds, I couldn't get nowhere near the weight, couldn't do it. I remember with Tom Chaney, and I was in the gym. I think I hit, like, I saw Tommy Langer just before the Worlds, and he barred me, but I was down at the weight. I was fuming, I kicked the door, I kicked the toilet door off the gym. And the door's still off the handle now. Tom was like, any time people cry from sparring, I was like, I don't know who's crying sparring. Very prick.
Yeah, but to a fighter who's coming up and coming to the side, I'm in blue plaques.
The door's still off, and it's still hanging.
Signing,
yeah. And the door is cranking on that, and we got back to sparring. And I remember, and then after that spar, I jumped on the scales, I was 61 once, so I got to not hand over. And I remember Tom saying, I'll be back in a minute. From where are you going? On the way, and I never told me then. Then when I got off of the world, so I think, so imagine if we went towards you, I went for a pint. So the lorkies out of that stress. But Tom never drank and we went there. Like, he likes to drink, but when we were training, he was mad, like, by the way, you know, and he wouldn't eat until I ate. You know, just done everything we were like. And he knew me better. The amount of times I'm not boxing, I can't make the way, I can't this. But he knew how to calm me down. He knew how to, like, he knew me, really. He knew me better than I knew myself, if you know what I mean. Because I'll be crying at 1 minute, then I'll do a session, and my weight will come all down, but then I'll be jumping around. And then I'll be going mad, and people come, yeah, I'm sorry, mate, I'll think, I'll leave you. Leave me on his own.
He knows how to, when to kick your ass, and with an arm right
there. He's just there, me and a room on the arm.
So with that then, Sam, so how do you go from, like, just to take Anthony Joshua, for example, with Rob McCracken, finds success he finds, and then for whatever reason, then, change of... differences or, you know, just change of who wants to coach. And then you go through trainers, like, blah, 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 blah. How do you form a bond with trainers that quick for it to be effective? Or do you not really, ever?
Yeah, you do. Listen, you've got to trust them, then, yeah. You can't have someone think, yeah. Okay, I'll go to coach, you're going in the gym, they're going, yeah, we're trying to do that in the session, I'm probably going back there. Like, I ain't got a clue, or we just don't get on with it. People telling me to go on the past, I've done pads to people. I can't even get the pad. I'm going to try with these. Stuff like that. You've got to find what's good for you. It's a selfish game. Say to Liam, I keep trying. If you get to the point where you don't feel you're learning with me, go. I'm not going to hold nothing. I've had fighters. I had a good life, turned amateur for years, and then he went to another gym. And it broke me like, I was like, I don't know. I remember speaking to Tom, I said, listen, I think I thought when you were pro and stuff like that, he said, people go, so all they do, put your heart too much into it in that way. Obviously, train them, love them. Okay, love some older kids in the gym, he protects them. I've been at the gym with him, not one of his lads for sparring, he bashed some kid for 3 rounds. Then he's got me tired. He's getting back, I'm like, well, that's enough. And the kid's gone, oh, do you go to balls getting back? I said, I don't give a fuck. But like, he just like puts an arm around him, protects. You know yourself, Rob, when you're with him, you got your back no matter what.
Have you took a lot of that from him now, yeah, with the way you
try? I remember the first way back to the gym. It's always the purest boxer move. And I remember in the corners going, fucking up. I smashed one there. Tom's gone to looking at me like, I mean, I went back to the chain because, what are you saying that? He said, tell him how to do things like that. And I was doing pants, I was just standing in the sands, but I was a mover. Tom was always moving the eyes every. He came, and then just the little things he was just telling me, look, going. And we had a fight, some kid, Humphreys anyway. And he's fighting there, he's got some banger. And he's running off, going boom, boom. And he's close. And Tom's going, because listen, you have to go at him. So you'll get bad, he was not a bit. And the kid went at him then. And he did beat him up because he stopped the kid running at him. And all would have went the other way, went going on the back foot even more.
Yeah.
Just little things you learn off him, like looking at different things on different angles.
Can you find it's a bit of a, obviously, Rooney getting slated down here and Lampard's gone over the hump now and Gerrard and stuff. Do you find that because you're so naturally talented that you find that hard to portray on certain
sort of artists? Those things, like, I'll be putting people on the pads. I've no doubt. I think, why the fuck can't he? Why can't he do this? I'm like, I'm not provoked to do it. I mean, why can't I do it? Then Tom says, they're not all as good as you. Kind of treat everyone different, like every force different as well. But I think if you put Rooney with Man United, I think it'd be better. Because he's around people who are that good.
Yeah.
And he can leave, you know what I mean? I think because we're around people who are not that good.
Well, Apple Company, didn't he? But yeah. Burnley, they've seen his philosophy and then they've sent him off. But like, yeah, he's asking people.
11 games, 11 wins at a form.
Yeah, he's asking Rooney to do stuff with the players down there and he's saying, they're just not good enough.
Yeah, that's all I agree, it's just not good enough. Mm. You go down to that low level, it's hard for you all, especially you being that good. You just, if I start coaching those people who is that bad, I'll be like, oh, it's not going on, I'm doing this. But luckily, when I went, a lot of good thoughts come with me.
Yeah.
So it's better that way.
Mm. So what's next for you then? So you spoke about the coaching and the not being able to fight, which is a bit mental, isn't it? Not being able to do that. So
just coaching, really.
Yeah.
I've got Liam Carey. Hopefully, I'll get a decent stable on that.
Yeah,
I'm getting sound more into my life, so I'm behaving a lot better than I ever did. Never drink, very rare.
Nah.
And no one ever sees me out anymore, so I'm good. Think I'm good that way. Obviously, got kids, so I've done a lot with the kids. More now, like, made memories going to zoo every week, going to cinema, a lot of stuff like that.
Mm.
So just coaching with boxing, obviously, see what happens with Shauna. Hopefully, she'll get back into it.
Fingers crossed,
yeah. Because she can't, hopefully, who knows, but to get open a gym or something. At the minute, I can't even talk to her about that because that's the last thing she wants to do.
Yeah. How do you want people to remember you in Birmingham? And yeah, but I mean, with the box, really.
I box anyone. They knew that. I'll never turn it off. So one fight down at as a pro. So keep going. And then Amar from Inglesham. It was just that awkward. He went good. He never beat me, but it just would have been the worst fight ever. And I remember he realized how he pulled out. I said, I think you play because you were good. Well, that would have been the ball with his fight ever. I said, you're not good. I'm scared of you. You haven't been nothing to the table. It's just I would have looked terrible beating you, so I just didn't want to do it.
He was in a no-win situation.
Yes, no-win. It was fully in his heart, I think. I just said, nah, I don't want it.
So what's your advice for youngsters?
Do as I say, not as I did. Like, I don't know, I'm sad. Listen, I trained hard. My dog went the best because I did trust it, if you know what I mean. But I think you just got to be dedicated. Listen to your coach. You don't want to listen to your coach. You want the new coach. Yeah, just dedicate yourself and live the right life, eh? And always have a backup plan, definitely. So work hard in school, get a job, get a trade, get something else. Don't think boxing's there because it's not there for everyone. I think they say 0.2% of boxers make out where they don't have to work again, stuff like that.
Why? Brilliant. For the best, man.
Oh, thanks ever so much for your time this morning.
And hopefully someone gets a union so there's some air for the boxers after you.
100%.
I'll be called out.
Thanks, mate.
Brilliant.